Well, Anna Marie, it's been a little bit of time since we've last had opportunity to do this, and this is always good. But a topic that is on your heart this morning is the idea of forgiveness. And, you know, we know there's bunches of verses. I remember talking to a friend, and he said, there's never a time when we're most like our Lord than when we forgive. It's the most divine of all of our actions, it seems. And so, yeah, let's let you just jump in, and bunches of scripture, so I'll just let you start talking, and hopefully this will encourage somebody that maybe is dealing with an issue concerning forgiveness.
Looking at forgiveness, we have to first see that there are two parts to it. There is the forgiveness that God gave us. It's forgiveness between mankind and God the Father. God forgave us long ago. All the time, He continues to forgive us. And that's hard for the human brain to accept. So you can see this is why, you know, the scripture says, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Mm. Our mind is what has to change. Mm. So Jesus is our example of forgiveness. Jesus is our example of everything. Mm. Jesus perfectly represents and expresses the heart of the Father. So if I want to get to know what God thinks about forgiveness, I don't go to Moses, and I don't go to David. Both of them received incredible forgiveness from God the Father.
Sure.
But I go to Jesus, who took on flesh and yet remained God.
Mm.
And see how He lives through this.
Right. Because even we look at those guys, and they will have moments. If I rest in Moses, or I rest in David, which mm-hmm. sounds very Jewish,
right.
And they would even throw that in the Savior's face, they always had a story that could justify what they were doing, because Moses would get angry,
yes.
and do it and get out of control, or David would go and do something, and those were good men.
Yes.
But Jesus never did. He's, you know, suffered and yet dealt with stuff,
right.
but without sin. So
right.
that makes a lot of sense.
So before we go to, so we have to, if we don't believe that God has forgiven us and will continue to forgive us, sins that we will continue to do, and if we will just get our sight off our behavior and go to our thoughts, because, you know, sins begin in our thoughts and then are expressed in our behaviors.
Right.
But we constantly look at what is seen and we go, oh my goodness, how can God keep on forgiving me?
Right.
This is ridiculous. There's just no way that God keeps on forgiving me. And yet, the new covenant. So let's even put aside Moses and David, and we see them as part of the old covenant.
Sure.
And the old covenant, the new covenant, there's lots of things that are the same.
Sure.
And yet there's some things that are different. So we go to the new covenant, prophesied in Jeremiah 31, 32, 33, and then reiterated by Jesus at the Passover.
Right.
This is the new covenant when he broke the bread and the wine.
Right.
And, you know, not that everybody clearly totally understood, even the disciples who were present there with him.
Right.
And then we go to Hebrews where it repeats several times what the new covenant is. There's one phrase that is in the old covenant. It's in the prophetic Jeremiah words. It's in the words of Jesus. It's in the words of Hebrews. And it says, your sins and iniquities I will remember no more. So let's just, you know, so I have to grasp that first.
Right.
Until I grasp with my spirit. You see, my mind fights it.
Yeah.
But I am an eternal spirit.
Yeah.
It's with my spirit, and those words are imprinted in my spirit. See, I know them.
Yes.
You know, so the word, the written word reminds us of them. The life of Jesus reminds us of them. The brain goes, no way.
Yeah.
Will God forgive you with all the years that you have lived and all the things you have done and all the thoughts you have thought that you didn't execute? You trying to tell me that God has forgiven you? Yes. It's exactly what I'm saying, because it's exactly what God the Father said. So Jesus said to the Father, Father, forgive them. Now, before we rush to the forgiveness, let's take a look at the crucifixion. What was he forgiving? What was he asking God to forgive him? To forgive the people? Who was he forgiving? Was he forgiving the crowd that cried, crucify him, crucify him? You know, even the little children, right? Some little children cried, but their parents were crying, crucify him. Teenagers, old men, they didn't even know what was going on. They maybe never even celebrated, never even went to inside the temple to celebrate the Passover. But boy, when the crowd takes off,
right,
and they start chanting, I imagine it's something like, you know, a football field or a baseball field.
Sure.
The chanting just goes on and on. And so, was he forgiving the crowds? Was he forgiving? Was he forgiving the religious leaders? Was he forgiving Caiaphas and Annas, when they had a trial before him? You know, he went to trial before him. They arrested him. They arrested him, and Peter took a sword to fight. Now this is, and Jesus healed the soldier and said, Peter, put your sword away. This is the kingdom. It's not going to work like this.
Right.
And so, and whether they plotted to kill him from the beginning. They saw him as a rival. And so then they, when he said that, you know, he was God, well, that's it, blasphemy. Now we have him. We're going to put him on trial for blasphemy. He says he is king, but we can't murder him. We have to let someone else murder him. So we will take him to the political system, to Caesar. We'll tell him, he says he's a king. Now, he is against your Roman government. He is committing treason. So you sentence him. And so they go back and forth. So who is he forgiving? The Romans? The religious leaders of the Jews? The crowds that just chanted here for him to be killed? Was he forgiving the one thief on the cross? Was he forgiving the other also? Or was he just forgiving what? Who was he forgiving? I believe he was forgiving all humanity. All. I don't believe there's anyone excluded from God's forgiveness. What is lacking is that they may not know that they're forgiven. They may not know that they will continuously will be forgiven. And they, or if they have heard it, because they have heard it in church, let's face it, especially us who live, you know, in America, you know, where there's a church in every corner, and forgiveness is constantly spoken. They may have heard it with their ears, but have not believed it with their heart, that they are personally themselves forgiven. Not just the whole world, but Anna Marie is forgiven. So where was God in the crucifixion? Where was he? He was Jesus hanging on the cross. I mean, first of all, what kind of human being takes another human being and nails him to the cross to leave him to die just because he said, I'm a king? Mental hospitals are full of people who say, I'm Napoleon, I'm the President of the United States. You know, should we kill him? That's what they did to Jesus. They killed him. This was, you know, we love to rush to the resurrection and make it all better. But we have to go through the crucifixion as, you know, why did God allow, what kind of a God allows him to be killed? What kind of a father is he? What's going on here? Whatever is going on is so that we could be forgiven. I may not understand what went on, why Cephas behaved the way he did, why the Romans did what they did. I may not, I'm not that intelligent to understand all that went on.
Sure.
But I know that when Jesus said, Father, forgive them, it was in Father's heart all the time to forgive them. I believe that because the scripture says that God was in Christ Jesus reconciling the world to himself. That's where God was at the crucifixion. He was in Christ Jesus saying, look, you think I'm mad at you, and you think I've not forgiven you. I am not mad at you. And to prove it, I'm going to die. I'm going to let you kill me, and I'm not going to retaliate. I'm going to forgive you instead. What? That's foreign to us, that kind of thinking. And of course, not knowing, because even the disciples were doubting that he was ever going to be resurrected. They never expect the victim to be resurrected. Once somebody dies, you're just forgotten. The people quiet down. They stop chanting. You know, the religious groups didn't have their arrival anymore, but went around healing and doing good and constantly eating corn on the Sabbath that irked them completely. Or the Romans who just, well, you're coming against Caesar? There's only one king, and it's Caesar. Everybody quiet down. And God was dead. Well, Nietzsche wasn't that far off, was he? God is dead. God was dead. He's dead. But he didn't stay dead. And it was to the shock of everyone. Imagine. No wonder the fear, I mean, not only the fear of the political Romans, you know, I'm thinking of the disciples, you know, I totally understand their fear. And so the Romans and the religious leaders, they would be kicked out of synagogues, which they were very terrified in those days to be kicked out of the synagogue.
Yeah.
Where today, you know, we leave one church, we go to another, it's not a big deal. Somebody says, don't come back here. We just, okay, so
sure.
Long. But that was like, there was such fear. And then there was the fear that, well, they're going to be next. Or the Romans going to crucify them next.
Yeah.
So there was this, there wasn't a lot of faith that he was going to be raised from the dead.
Right.
At that point. Imagine the victim being raised from the dead and not retaliate. That's our God. It's our God. So he has forgiven us. We are forgiven. And until with our whole heart, we are persuaded, convinced, totally sure, we will have difficulty forgiving others. Because the forgiveness that God gives us is connected to forgiveness that I give you and
right.
that you give me.
Yeah. That's
God says. God says, I forgive you. I forgive you so that you can forgive your brother.
Yeah.
As I have forgiven you, you forgive your brother. So, first things first. First thing is that I need persuaded and convinced that I am forgiven. That my Father has forgiven me. That the prodigal son is home. The prodigal daughter is home. And I am totally in right standing with my Father. He never abandoned me. Never.
Right.
I thought I was abandoned. I thought I was separated from his love. And he proved his love because he was in Christ Jesus saying, come on, I'm not mad at you. You're mad at me, but I'm not mad at you. Come on. Let's reconcile. And then to us, he says, now that we know that we're forgiven, now we can reconcile others to God. I can say, you know, God is not mad at you. You're totally forgiven. You have been forgiven. But God doesn't want you to stay in this condition where you keep hurting yourself and you keep hurting others. Because that's what sin does.
Yes.
And God came in the flesh to show how to deal with sin. And gave us faith to just love one another. You know, violence is not the answer. Vengeance is not the answer. Because if it was the answer, then from the beginning, when God created Adam and Eve, the very first violence was their children. Where did that come from? Do they learn that from Adam and Eve? I mean, there's no record that Adam and Eve killed anyone. Where did they learn from? Where did that come from?
Right. The heart. Yeah.
The heart. And what has happened all through history, the Old Testament? How have we dealt with when someone sins against us or offends us?
Sure.
We pick up the sword and we fight.
Yeah.
We deal with it with violence. Well, you know, in the Western world here, we're so civilized, we don't do that, you know. We don't deal with it with violence, but how do we deal with it? Well, in some ways we do. Our government deals with violence, and we are our government. We're the crowd that shout, go ahead, bomb those people over there.
Yeah.
Bomb them.
Yeah.
You know, do we realize that they're also created in God's image and in God's likeness? And they don't know, they have misconception of their father. And in their misconception, they pick up the sword and kill. Or they pray bombs and kill. Now, it would be a mind, you know, Jesus came, it was announced at his birth that we might have peace, right? Peace on earth. So he's not changed. He's, if you want to call it a program, we have programs, we have goals. He's not changed his character.
Right.
It's still peace that he's after. And that peace, that word shalom means wholeness, healing, peace of mind, emotional peace, physical health, well-being, provision, all of it. It's so inclusive. It says peace to you. It means that you may be totally blessed and whole. And he's, God is that change. That's why Jesus came. And so when he was raised from the dead, the first words that he spoke to the disciples who were terribly fearful behind closed doors was, peace to you. And then he repeated it, peace to you. And then he says something that we have a hard time believing. And I just realized this recently. He says, whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted. And whosoever sins you retain, they are retained.
Mm.
So what was Jesus saying? Was he giving us instruction, authority, power that we actually can forgive someone else's sin?
Mm.
Can we forgive someone else?
I think so. I think we can not hold that stuff to their
right.
account.
It says don't retain it.
Yeah.
Right. Don't retain it. There's something that takes place in the miracle supernatural realm. When we forgive, it releases.
Yeah.
That's all really the word forgiveness means, is just release the person
right.
from the offense.
Yeah.
You don't hold them for payment or ransom.
Right.
That they got to pay you back.
Yeah.
Because they injured you and they got to pay you back. Just release them from that.
Mm.
And how does that take place? When now we're talking about forgiveness one to another. Because God has forgiven us. Done. So let's just live in the forgiveness that we have from God the Father. But now when someone wrongs us, and this is where we live today, in the everyday life. Because my life, with my forgiveness with God, I can keep it kind of personal and hidden.
Sure. this is real life. Yeah,
but now in real life, when someone injures me, when someone slanders me, or someone steals from me, what do I do? Do I have the authority, the instructions, the power, the ability, the God-given strength, that supernatural power, that resurrected power, to forgive the offense?
Amen.
Do I have? I have it. I believe I have it. Yeah. Because God has given it to me. He said, now, whosoever sins you forgive, be forgiven.
Yeah.
And whosoever sins you retain, they're going to be retained. That person is in debt to you, and you are going to hold that person responsible for that debt. And you are even going to constantly think about vengeance towards that person. Retaliation towards that person. And when that person's name comes up, inside of you starts churning, even though you don't say a word.
Right.
And nobody even knows, but you're going to go, they don't know what this person is like, but I know what this person is like. And if we're very controlled, we say nothing. But we can't get all that control. Some of us, we have words written on our faces. I have one of those faces.
Me too.
You can see exactly what's up feeling on the inside.
Sure.
So, but that's
at some point that will come out if you don't deal with it.
Eventually, it comes out because the scripture says nothing that is hidden. See, we're trying to keep it. We're trying to put the lid on it. We have been trained to put the lid on it. So it's going to be shattered from the housetops.
Mm.
It's going to be known, and it's not a bad thing.
No.
It unfolds the deceptions that we have embraced. And the self-deceptions that James talks about.
Mm.
So how do we forgive? Lots of misconceptions about how we forgive someone else. First of all, I will give you the big don't that most people make the error of doing. Do not go to that person that has wounded you and say to them, I forgive you.
Yeah, no, that's a great, great bit of advice.
That's not what Jesus did.
Right.
Don't go there. They, you know, the forgiveness is between you and your Heavenly Father.
Right.
Father, because you have forgiven me, I will forgive her. I couldn't forgive her if you hadn't forgiven me. If you were not living in me, if you didn't show me your love towards me, I would not be able to forgive anybody.
Mm-hmm.
I would suppress everything until I become mentally ill. So this is how, that's all we do. That is so good. Father, thank you that you've forgiven me, and therefore I can forgive my friend Mary. And she is your child like I am your child. And we are sisters, and we have one Father. We are Creator and Father of all. Some of us don't behave like we have a father, but we do. Now, some of us have a hard time even accepting him as creator, but he did. We are his offspring. So that connects us. That gives us such a connection. And in the scripture says Jesus holds all things together. Now, we could say, well, what are all the old things? Well, he holds his family together. Do you hold your family together? You see that Sarah and Ben and Jason, you see that they love each other. And when one isn't nice to the other, you go, now, come on, son.
Right.
You hold the family together. And that's what Jesus, he holds God's family together. And so when we forgive, when I forgive Mary, I am the most like God, my Father, than at any other time in my life.
Mm.
And so what happens to me over time? And then what happens to Mary? Now, it's very possible. And, you know, and I'm not primarily responsible for Mary, though I am responsible for some of Mary, that I don't become a stumbling block to her. I'm responsible for that. I am my brother's keeper. But mostly, first and foremost, what happens is I change. That churning inside me, that offense, that hurt feeling, that those thoughts that keep on rehearsing, that Mary wounded me, and I don't know if I can ever forget it. Well, God, who is almighty, said, I will forget your sins and your iniquities. I'll never remember them. No more. Amazing. No more.
Yeah.
So I can forget too. I can forgive and I can forget. And it's a process. So it begins with that icky feeling that you have inside that you want bad for that person.
Mm.
You want, well, you know, they'll get them. They'll get them. You know, the law of sowing and reaping, they'll get theirs. That's what you're thinking. It will happen to them. You know what? It will happen to them, but not because I willed it to them. Life will do that to them.
Yeah.
The law of sin and death that is in the world is going to hurt them.
Yeah.
And I shouldn't glory over that.
No, not at all.
You know? So this the thing that's going on in my mind mostly, that keep rehearsing it, is going to diminish until when that person's name is just mentioned in a crowd, I realize I don't have any heart against them anymore. Wow. God did it.
Yeah, amen.
God did it.
And he can do it, yeah.
God did it when I chose to be his child. When I chose to be like him. Which brings us to Genesis 1:1. Let us create man in our own image, in our own likeness. That's who we are.
Mm.
See, we forget who we are. If we just kept on remembering that we are children of God and he is love and compassionate and he has asked us to rule our lives and to rule in the earth in his image and his likeness with his love, his compassion, his way, and his ways are never violent, but they're the ways of forgiveness.
Amen. Well, as I was thinking about that, and sometimes just the basic gospel, to hear the gospel that Jesus Christ came to save sinners. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And so maybe you're listening this morning and the whole idea of forgiveness is not real to you because you don't realize what he's done. Jesus took our place. He was nailed to a cross. He was the perfect Lamb of God. Took the sins, the sin, and because of that, a pure sacrifice was given, and he took our place, and that's the atonement. And by believing and receiving, you become in a relationship that is amazing. And so we want you to know that you can have that too. And so please don't hesitate to realize what God did through his son, Jesus Christ. And so believe, confess. It says that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And so the whole idea of forgiveness can be, and we're still growing. We're still learning. We're still having an understanding of what he did on our behalf. So please don't hesitate to contact us if you've got any questions. Put Anna Marie's email there and our church's website. And so we don't want this to be something that just sits out there, but you incorporate into your life through the work of Christ. So please don't hesitate to give us a call or an email or however you want to contact us. But you can do this where you're at right now. You can do it where in your car or at home. So please don't hesitate. And we pray God's blessing on you. Take care.